On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer, and baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's CDOT.
You guys are surprised to hear me, huh? You didn't think I would be here today, did you? You thought that I would miss the United States in the round of 16? You thought I would miss United States Belgium? I don't care about what the Royals got going on. Of course I was going to be here. You thought I was going to take off because the Royals had a day game? I didn't even know the Royals had a day game until earlier today. I've been keeping up with them. But I am here, and I am happy to be here. Today is a very special show. I've been doing this for a very long time. I can't think of at any point in doing this show we have ever played audio from the President of the United States. Today, we will do so. Now, for the most part, I leave that man alone. There really isn't much reason to talk about him on our sports talk show. But when you put in a call to the FIFA president, you come in to our world. I'm not here to give you my thoughts on international affairs, but when you play an effect and have an effect on the soccer game today that I think 30 million people or more are going to watch, I'm sorry, I have to comment on them. You're listening to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here. I am here taking you up until 6 o'clock. I wish we had more time. This is where I would like to start, and I want to take you through my entire thought process here. I am conflicted. Now, you might be wondering, why are you conflicted? Well, let me explain. On one side of the coin, I strongly dislike what happened. And I think in a lot of ways it is anti-sports. Now, I think some of the reaction to the President of the United States putting in the call to FIFA is we are all on the same side. We are all on the same side of whether or not that was a red card. Everybody seems to think that it was not a red card. We are all on the same page about whether or not Flo Balogun should be allowed to play in the upcoming matchup. I believe that he should play, and that's the other side of the coin that we'll eventually talk to. But if this was a sport that we watched, and this was a sport that we cared about and talked about more so than just 1 month every 4 years, people would be outraged. Can you imagine if the President of the United States called Roger Goodell because he didn't like the call at the end of Rams Saints? Can you imagine if the President of the United States called Adam Silver and asked for Victor Wembanyama to be issued a technical foul or flagrant foul because of pushing Jalen Brunson? I think most people would agree, most reasonable people would agree that that is overstepping your bounds. I'm not naive enough to think that politics are not going on in the World Cup. Now, I might not be the biggest soccer aficionado and I might not keep up with it, but I am perfectly fine with the politics of the where. I'm not crazy enough to think that some of these cities aren't doing something maybe under the table, maybe something slightly unethical to make sure that they ensure these games. I'm not crazy enough to not think that bribes are happening on where these games could potentially be played. I think that is happening. I think that is undeniably happening, but I think it's different when you have an effect on the how the game is played or who is potentially playing in the game. Now, I don't know that man's involvement one way or the other, but I'll play for you his audio. The way he paints it makes it sound to me like he put in the call. The way it sounds to me like he was Aunt Becky. Remember that story from Full House about her kid couldn't get into USC? So Aunt Becky put in the phone call to make sure that their kid got into USC. Flo Balogun was ineligible for the game. After a phone call, allegedly, he then became eligible for the game. I don't think that's how the game should be played. Let me play for you the audio, and I want to be fair because I do want to talk about the other side of this and what makes me feel conflicted about what happened. Here's the President of the United States and his reaction to the red card.
So I saw the play, and I'm a person that loves sports and was a good athlete, and I understand sports really well, really well. And that wasn't a foul. That wasn't even an infraction. That was two guys running full speed that happened to crash into each other. You can't take your foot and properly place it on somebody else's foot when you're going. No, these were two great athletes that got tangled up. And this referee, who is a little bit suspect, if you check his past, he made a call that nobody could believe. You know, even people on the other side, they say, "Oh, we got lucky! Wow, that's." And it's very interesting. They say they don't show them in slow motion, and I never realized that. I never heard of that before. That they're not allowed to review in slow motion because it's so different. Because you'll take one little quarter of a second and you'll see that a hand is touching a neck or you see something. Whereas when you see it in fast motion, it will look like two guys collided, which is really what happened. They got sort of entangled. He didn't do anything wrong. And he's our best player or one of our best players. A very vital player. And he gave him a red card. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't think it meant much.
He made a lot of good points in what he was saying. And I didn't ever think I would say that. He made a lot of points that I agree with. That's where I'm really conflicted when it comes to this. I sat here for 2 days and I listened to every soccer person tell me that this was wrong. I listened to every soccer person from Mark Clattenburg to the player himself, from the manager to Taylor Twellman to Ali Trost. Everybody that we talked to about this said this was not a red card. This was unjust. Problem got solved, right? It might be a roundabout weird method of how we got there. I disagree with the method that we got there. I think it sets a very dangerous precedent if now politicians are going to be calling league commissioners in order to get things changed. I don't think that the governor of Kansas can call the commissioner of the Big 12 and ask for a call to be changed. I don't think the governor of the state of Texas can ask the SEC to review something. I don't think you should be able to do that. According to him, that's what he said happened.
Then I started hearing that means he can't play in the next game, at least in the next game. I said, boy, that's a big, if it happened to another player, it would have been unfair. But when they take your best player or just about, they have some great players, but, and they say you can't play. That's very unfair. That's, it's one thing to penalize somebody for the game, but how do you penalize them for a game that hasn't been played yet? It's very unfair. You can't do that. So, yes, I asked for a review by FIFA.
The truth is the truth regardless of who says it. The truth is the truth regardless of who believes it. I think what he said is right. In fact, I 100% agree with what he said. I think something was wrong. I think it needed to be reviewed. I think the process was wrong. And them originally coming out on Wednesday, they came out on Wednesday and said, we are not reviewing it. The ruling is the ruling. You cannot appeal it. Sounds to me like it got appealed. It sounds to me like ultimately what everybody wanted happened. You were frustrated that Balogun wasn't going to be eligible. You were frustrated that Balogun wasn't going to be able to compete. Somebody put the phone call in, whether they use a little political pressure, maybe it was a little back channel dealings, maybe that's his homeboy, I don't know. But ultimately, what everybody wanted happened. So I do feel kind of conflicted, because on one side, I don't think you should do this. And I understand why Belgium would feel some kind of way about this, and I do think that's unfair to be able to do it. On the other side, I'm happy that the U.S. is going to be at full strength. I'm happy that Belgium's going to be at full strength. And I want to see those two teams go out there, and I want to see them play. I don't want to hear any conversation about an asterisk. And ultimately, something got done. The right thing got done. The just thing got done. The fair thing got done. I've never been more conflicted. This is one of those slippery slopes that we talk about. And this is a slippery slope. But in the end, I think it worked. I think he helped. I think that this was necessary. And I think we all came to the right conclusion, no matter how windy the road was. I'll read your text on this, 913-586-7965. We are reacting to the breaking news. Flo Balogun, at first, was not going to play. He is now going to play in the game coming up later today. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to read you guys' text messages. I just want to reply to this one. So my take on the Flo Balogun situation is this. I'm conflicted. On one side, I do not think that politicians should be able to wield their power in a way that can affect the outcome of a sporting event. That is clear that that happened here, or at least was attempted to have happened here, whether you believe he pressured them or not. But on the other side, everybody told me this call was wrong. Everybody told me that they disagreed with this call and that something should happen. Something happened. We got a text. CDOT, what a bad take. The president stood up for his country. There is zero comparison to an NBA game. Come on, please don't make this a political thing. Well, my comparison is, if this was a sport that we cared about, if it was a bad call in a college basketball game, and the governor of a state called the commissioner of the league to try to get it overturned, we would all say, whoa, 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 you're doing a whole lot there. Bad calls, etc. Officiating is a part of the sport. It's a part of the game. That was the point that I was making. And I don't know how you can't see this as political. He's the president in an international competition. An international competition that won't let some countries participate because of politics. The same committee that gave this individual a peace prize less than a year ago for his efforts in the Middle East. So I don't know how you can't look at this as at least having some political effect and see how politics have come into the sporting arena. That's the reason why we're talking about this. I don't know how much influence this person had or did not have on it. But if you look at the timeline of things, I'm sitting here reading it. After the game, the FIFA officials told The Athletic, Balogun's red card and suspension cannot be appealed. They cited FIFA's own rule book and stated that a red card results in an automatic suspension. And there, that clause does not mention the possibility of an appeal. That night, someone, a part of the presidential task force, reached out to the president about the red card, and they started to put together a plan to challenge the red card. On Thursday is when the conversation started between the president of the United States and the president of FIFA about this ban. On Monday, it has now been overturned. I don't know all what happened. But I've been hearing a lot of people tell me, Rob, you included, have been telling me FIFA's a little shady. FIFA's a little corrupt. If I'm Belgium, I feel a way about how this has turned. Your rules say that he can't play. Now, it sounds like you and your friend had a conversation and got this overturned. I understand why Belgium feels away, even though in the end, I think the right thing happened. I think that Balogun should have been allowed to play. I don't even think we should have ever been in this controversy. We should have never been talking about it from the beginning. He should have been allowed. It just should have been a yellow card. We should have moved on with our life. What do you think, Rob? You're a soccer guy.
So I was on with Dana and Parker today, and I said it this way, and our takes are eerily similar. Two things can be true at the same time. First and foremost, I think justice was served here. That's a harsh red. It shouldn't have been VAR reviewed. It shouldn't have been red. It's maybe a foul. So now to take out the U.S.'s best goal scorer ahead of a knockout round, round of 16 matchup, is unfair. And the fact that he is now back is, I think, the correct response. It's justice being served. But on the other hand, I don't like the process. I don't like that, and it's not just the politics part. FIFA doesn't really have rules. If you delve into their laws and their bylaws, the law is exactly what they told The Athletic, but there's a bylaw and a stipulation in a roundabout way, because they've done this before in this World Cup with Cristiano Ronaldo. So the rules are basically what Who's Lions Anyway used to say. They're all made up and who cares anyway. That's how FIFA operates. And I think they got external pressure from a major political figure to do what they've done in the past to benefit themselves and the tournament. So I think the right thing happened. I just think it happened the wrong way, if that makes sense.
Do you think the U.S. is in a no-win situation? Now,
yes.
This is the,
I agree
the
with
way
that.
That I'll phrase it. If the United States win, we all know what the conversation is going to be. You guys wouldn't have won if this player hadn't have been eligible. He was ineligible. You guys put the phone call in. You now got him eligible. That will be one side of the conversation. The other side of the conversation will be, if the United States loses today, you guys did all of that and still lost. Now, maybe this is a false equivalent. You can tell me, Rob. I don't think that his suspension gets overturned if the World Cup is not in the United States. If this World Cup was in Morocco, I don't think we're having this conversation. He also might not even have got suspended from the very beginning. If this World Cup was in Qatar, like the last one, I don't think the American player gets his red card overturned. I think you're the home team. We understand that you get the home call, you get the home whistle. And I think the U.S. got the home call and the home whistle. Now, I will not put any asterisks by it. I don't think that's how history remembers things. I also, what does it matter? Who cares? What does it matter if that's how people will look at either your win or your loss? If you lose, you lost. You're out of the tournament. You guys are listening to a lot of Belgium sports talk to hear what they're going to say. You didn't start liking soccer until I started liking soccer about 3 weeks ago. Soon enough, Patrick Mahomes will be in training camp. They'll be answering questions about the wedding, and everything will go back to normal. If the United States win, trust me, 10, 20, 30 years from now, we are not going to say, oh, yeah, I remember that game. Balogun, that was the one that he got suspended, and then they won the game. No, we will never remember the context of this. So go win the game. Correct me if I'm wrong, Rob. I've been doing my reading on this. You know I'm a soccer aficionado here. The last time that these two teams played each other, Belgium beat the United States 5-2.
Beat their brakes off.
5-2. So on paper, the U.S. might be a little bit of a better team. They're the betting favorite if you pay attention to those kind of things. But on the field, on the pitch, where things are decided, Belgium smoked the U.S. boots the last time they played each other. So I don't want to hear any excuses. The U.S. is at full strength for this match. Belgium is at full strength for this match. This is for a trip to the Elite Eight, the furthest the United States have gone since 2002, and a date with Spain coming up on Friday. Go win your game. I don't want to hear any excuses. Belgium tried to appeal the ruling. Now we got appeals on top of appeals on top of appeals. You lost your appeal. There are no more. He is playing. He is in the starting lineup for this one. We got to go play ball at some point. That's coming up in an hour and a half.
I will say this. A lot of people in text line are wondering if the U.S. will just hold him out. The lineup is out. Flo Balogun is starting. Like, that is a done deal. He is in the starting lineup right now. It's the same starting lineup you've seen every United States match this year. Same old, same old. They're going to go forward with their group. You mentioned we'll forget about this. For better or worse, Soccer fans know that the history of the World Cup is filled with questionable things that have led to wins and loss by teams. There's the hand of God, which you was talking a lot about last night, because English fans still feel a way that Diego Maradona had a handball that led to a goal and cost them a World Cup. United States fans will point out in 2002, they're in the quarterfinals. There was a ball plinging around near the goal line. A defensive player hit it with his hand, prevented the U.S. from scoring a goal. No foul was called. It was an obvious call. Bing, bang, boom. The United States loses in that round. So soccer fans will remember, but you're right. It is a no win. If the United States wins, it's only because they got a favor called in to beat Belgium. If they lose, hey, you had a favor called in and you're the host nation. You couldn't get past the round of 16. How embarrassing is that? But FIFA and soccer fans will remember either way. I think it will disappear from the American zeitgeist no matter what over the next 4 years.
Are you picking them to win today?
I am.
I mean, I didn't think you were going to be picking against them.
I am. It's also worth noting,
you only got two more days of watching the United States top, so you got to enjoy them. You got today, and I mean, this run's ending Friday.
Oh, yeah, Spain's going to get them.
Yeah, the run's ending on Friday regardless, but just, hey, get one more. Nothing wrong with that. Get one more.
Spain hasn't given up a goal.
As far as you've been over the last 20 years, you got to host the World Cup. You went further than Mexico. You went further than Canada. And you lost to a team that people ultimately think can win. Nobody thinks that Belgium can win this thing. You can beat them. I don't think you're beating Spain. I don't think you're going further than this week. But can you at least get to Friday? Can you give people a reason to take off on Friday? I think you can do that if you're the United States. So go get this win.
It is worth noting, too, for the soccer nerds listening, Belgium's starting lineup is not exactly rife with stars. Kevin De Bruyne, Romelu Lukaku, and Jeremy Doku, their three best players, arguably, are all going to be sitting and watching this one from the front row, so at least to start the match. So the United States on paper has the better lineup. They have more talented team. Flo Balogun shouldn't matter. They should be able to take care of business against Belgium in the next 90 minutes.
Rob, who is the most random person you saw that got invited to the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce wedding?
Dean Blandino. No one's going to beat Dean Blandino. Do you see that photo? He's with the whole Fox crew, and he was like, got my best fit on. You're like, Dean Blandino?
I actually don't think it's that random. I think Travis Kelce was telling us his plans for after he's done playing football. I think Travis Kelce announced without announcing that he is joining Fox by the time he is over. Everybody from Fox's NFL crew was there. Everybody from CBS was not there. Everybody from NBC was not there. Everybody a part of the football coverage on ESPN were not there. Every single person that is on camera for Fox was at this wedding. I think Travis Kelce was telling you without telling you what he is going to do when football is over. So once I started thinking about that, I'm like, huh. Like, everybody on the 325, all the studio people, all of those people are here. I just started adding up, and I'm like, we're going to get an announcement at the end of the season that Travis Kelce is retiring and that Travis Kelce is going to join the Fox desk, and you're going to see him every Sunday breaking down games. That was my biggest conclusion from all of it.
Now that you say that, the logic on that is strong. Now, some of those guys have other connections, though.
Like, oh, for sure.
Greg Olsen is
tied in University, yeah.
I guess, so if it's not him, is my second most random Matt Stafford? Matt Stafford's an odd one to me.
That's a good one. Matt Stafford's a good
one. In the football sphere, there's maybe some celebrity I'm not knowing was there.
I have another take. These are my two takes from the Travis Kelce Taylors. Good for them. I'm happy for them. Phenomenal. Great for them. My other thought process was, this was my thought process. Travis had to get something. Now, I've never been married before, but for them to have a castle and have Stevie Nicks and Tim McGraw, I'm guessing that she had a lot of input on the wedding. I don't think that her pick was Bobby Boucher. I find it hard to believe that the person that was going to officiate this wedding, I don't think she envisioned it as being Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison. Travis had to get something. Travis got something. He got Adam Sandler. That's who we got. Rob, what did you get in your wedding? You got something. You didn't go 0 for 10 from the field. You got at least one or two things.
We walked into the hum. I got the hum.
You got that.
I got that.
You.
It's not the same as Adam Sandler, but I got my thing.
You got your one thing.
I got my thing.
I'm guessing when you get married as a man, you're allowed to get one thing. He got his one thing. He got Adam Sandler. Good for him. All right, we'll have a full show tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.